Just under 6,000 years ago, God gave mankind a choice, a rather simple one. Would they follow God's way and be obedient to his government, one that would bring peace and prosperity and all things good, or try to govern themselves and make it up as they went along? The answer that mankind gave was, we can do it ourselves, thanks. The effects of this choice have been 6,000 years of war, hardship, struggle, and instability. Mankind was given this time to try every type of governance, ranging from the weak to the iron-handed. So as an introduction, let's start by looking at the first recorded time that mankind tried to govern itself. In Genesis, we see that after rejecting God's government, mankind multiplied until they started to have problems with wild animals. In chapter 4 of The Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "There was a better way to protect the people from the wild animals that roamed the earth than by constantly fighting them. Nimrod built a city of houses and surrounded the city with a high wall and gathered the people therein. Thus, the people were protected and Nimrod was able to rule over them. This arrangement was agreeable to the people, for they said, 'Let us build us a city and make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad,'" which is taken from Genesis 11, verse 4. The people not only protected themselves from the wild animals by building a walled city, but also established authority of their own. "Let us make us a name." This was to be the central place of mankind's authority. The necessity of the obedience to God was not going to be recognized. Nimrod was their leader. This was the first attempt at mankind trying to govern themselves. First, but not last. Over the last 6 millennia, mankind has attempted to govern itself in many different ways, at least 33 that I could find quickly. Today, we'll have a brief look at just 7 different types and contrast them with the future government of God. So government number 1. It is a form of government that is very prominent in this age, democracy. Democracy can be defined as a government by the people, a rule of the majority, a form of government in which the people elect representatives to make decisions, policies, and laws. It can also be called a representative democracy. Democracy literally means rule by the people. An example of democracy would be the United States of America, which declared independence from Great Britain in 1776. However, full self-governance of the country as a whole didn't come about until 1789, when George Washington became the country's first president. And as of the 20th of January this year, Donald J. Trump took up the office and became the 47th president. The second form of government is monarchy. Monarchy comes in 2 forms, constitutional and absolute. The main difference between the two is how much power is granted to the monarch and how much is limited by a constitution. Here in the United Kingdom, we have a constitutional monarchy. We have a king, but the power to make and enforce laws has been gradually stripped away since the signing of the Magna Carta in 1215, and now invested in Parliament and the Prime Minister. An absolute monarchy, on the other hand, has a monarch that has no limits whatsoever on their power. They can elect laws, impose punishments, levy taxes, and declare war without having to consult with anybody. An example of an absolute monarchy would be the Ancien Régime, or the Old Order, in France under the rule of the French kings, Louis XIV in particular. This form came to a very bloody end when it was overthrown in the French Revolution of 1787 to 1799. Encyclopaedia Britannica, under the heading "Why Did the French Revolution Happen?", states, "There were many reasons. The bourgeoisie, or merchants, manufacturers and professionals, had gained financial power but were excluded from political power. Those who were socially beneath them had very few rights, and most were increasingly impoverished. The monarchy was no longer viewed as divinely ordained. when the king sought to increase the tax burden on the poor and expand it to classes that were previously exempt, revolution became all but inevitable. Moving on now to government number three, is one that we should all be very, very familiar with. That is a theocracy, which can be defined as a government or of a state by immediate divine guidance or by officials who are regarded as divinely guided. The best example of a theocracy would be ancient Israel, which was ruled directly by God through leaders such as Moses and Joshua, and then through the judges. And I have to thank Mr. Bowles here for warming up my next scripture in the pastor's report of yesterday. Israel rejected God's rule and demanded a human monarch. Instead, as we read of in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll read verse 4 to 9. So that's 1 Samuel 8, and we'll start reading in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy way. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, and that I should not reign over them. This has been categorized as a really bad decision for the last 1,000 years. Government number four is a bit of a mouthful. Totalitarianism. Make a lovely Scrabble word. Which is defined as the political concept that a citizen should be totally subject to an absolute state authority. The most recognized example of a totalitarianism would be the USSR, or the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which started in 1917 and lasted until its complete and utter collapse in 1991. Next up, we have government number five, a dictatorship, defined as a form of government in which absolute power is concentrated in a dictator or a small clique. The most famous example of a dictatorship would be Germany under Adolf Hitler's Nazi regime, which lasted from 1933 to 1945, when the Allied nations of Great Britain, the United States, and the Soviet Union defeated Germany in World War II. Moving on to the government number six, a plutocracy, or a government by the wealthy. While the first recorded use of the term in English dates back to 1631, the concept of a plutocracy has been present since ancient times, as early as 753 BC. The Senate of the Roman Empire was controlled by a group of aristocrats whose wealth afforded them the power to elect local governments, local government officials, and dictate new social policies. This worked for many years, but like all of mankind's efforts to govern himself, this too failed. Rome fell in 476 AD, thanks to a combination of greed, decadence, and overexpansion. And finally, one that you probably have never heard of, but is more common than not, a kleptocracy. A kleptocracy is a form of government in which the leaders use their political positions of power to gain or increase their personal wealth by stealing money and valuable resources from the countries they rule. While both forms of government imply a degree of corruption, kleptocracy differs from plutocracy by being a government by the wealthy, for the wealthy. A good example would be Joseph Mobutu's reign in the Congo during the mid-20th century. Joseph Mobutu declared himself president of Congo after coming to power in a coup d'etat in November the 25th, 1965. After taking power, Mobutu changed the name of the Congo to the Republic of Zaire. Before being overthrown in May 1977, Mobutu committed widespread human rights violations and virtually decimated the country's economy in the process of embezzling a personal fortune estimated at from 4 to $15 billion. So we've seen just a few of man's governmental structures. They are all flawed because they are run by man, under the influence of Satan and his way of get. We are looking forward and training to be part of a government that will never crumble or decay through its own decadence, never be overthrown in a bloody civil war, never oppress the governed while the governors feather their own nests, but which will last forever in peace, harmony and prosperity for all. This wonderful government was prophesied to King Nebuchadnezzar in a dream, as we read of in Daniel 2, in verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for ever. Mr. Armstrong paints a picture of what this everlasting government will be like in Mystery of the Ages, starting on page 325. Now notice just how the New World Government will function during the next 1,000 years. It will not be a so-called democracy. It will not be socialism. It will not be communism or fascist. It will not be a human monarch, oligarchy or plutocracy. It will not be man's government over man. Man has proven his utter incapability of ruling himself. It'll be divine government, a theocracy, the government of God ruling over humans. It'll not be government from the bottom up. The people will have no votes. It'll not be a government of or by the people, but it'll be a government for the people. It'll be a government from the top, God Almighty, down. It'll be a hierarchy in form. There will be no election campaigns, no campaign fundraising dinners, no dirty political campaigns where each candidate attempts to put himself forward in the most favourable light, defaming, denouncing, discrediting his opponents. No time will be wasted in mudslinging campaigns in the lust for power. No human will be given any government office. All the government service will then be divine spirit beings in the kingdom of God, the God family. All the officials will be appointed, and by the divine Christ, who reads and knows man's hearts, their inner character and ability, or lack of ability. You find a description of Christ's supernatural insight into the very character of others in Isaiah 11, verses 2 to 5. Now notice it. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Remember, God is the Supreme One, who is love, who gives, who rules with outgoing concern for the ruled. He will rule from the highest, for the highest good of the people. The most able, the most righteous, those best fitted for office will be placed into all offices of responsibility and power. There will be two kinds of beings on earth. Humans being ruled by those made divine. Some resurrected saints will rule over 10 cities and some over 5. Just taken from Luke 19, 17 to 19. Think of it. No money wasted in political campaigns, no splits in political parties with quarrelling and hatred, no political parties at all. We are all currently in training to rule in that new world government under Jesus Christ. And what sort of ruler will he be? Well, the answer is given in Isaiah 9, and we'll start reading in verse 6. That's Isaiah 9. We'll start reading in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth ever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.